Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, besties, and welcome to a brand new Tuesday episode. Welcome to the Vault Archives. Today, my amazing guest is my friend Naz. Many of you guys know all about her. She's super positive. She's super beautiful. She's super amazing. And not only is she known for being incredibly talented and a positive influence on everyone around her, but she's also famously known for her relationship with artist Miguel. So today we're going to dissect all of that. We're going to be sharing some things most people didn't know about her, how she overcame her eating disorder, the craziest thing she's ever done for love, how your 30s are your best and most confident years of our lives. We can both attest to that. We then dissect her definition of cheating, and we discuss the different ups and downs of her relationship with Miguel, from the long distance to quote-unquote the Instagram hoes and the DMs to their busy schedules and how they make it work, how they don't fight to part ways, but they fight to come together, and so much more. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode. You get to know her a little bit better. If you love this episode, make sure you can give me a 5-star review on the podcast app, and don't forget to subscribe. And I will see you this Thursday with a brand new episode with therapist Amy. It's also a really good episode. So I'm hoping you are enjoying the third week of September on the podcast, which is all about mental health and self-help and checking in with yourself and how to do better before the end of the year.
It's Violet Benson, your favorite meme queen and the big sis you didn't ask for but need. Welcome to Almost Adulting.
Almost Adulting. Almost Adulting.
Are you ready?
Today I have a really special guest. I did my best to practice her name before we started this because I'm kind of like known at this point where I can't pronounce anyone's last name.
Okay.
But luckily her first name and her last name are difficult.
Uh-huh.
So I Googled how to pronounce
her
name.
Wow, I'm impressed. Okay, let's hear it.
Nazanin Mandi.
Yeah.
I said it right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's great.
What's a shortcut that people use?
Naz.
Okay, I should have just... Today Naz is on the show. Okay.
No, it's perfect.
So Nazanin Mandi. Is it Mandy?
Mandy.
Why didn't you
correct
me?
Because it's close enough.
No.
You're good. Trust me. I'm so impressed that you got my first name right. Nobody really gets it right.
Well, I Googled how to pronounce it, and then I wrote it. I was like N-A-A-A-A-A.
Okay.
Z-A-A-A-A.
Wow.
Nazan. That's how I can like pronounce it in my head.
Right. You did amazing.
So Naz Mandi.
Yeah.
I like that. That's
easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's a model, an actor, a singer, a wife. You're mixed. You are half you're half Spanish. I think your mom's from Mexico.
My mom's from Mexico and my father is Iranian from Tehran, Iran. Yeah.
How many languages do you speak?
I'm just going to say English because I do not speak fluent Spanish or Farsi. So we're just going to say English.
I can say Shabakhe Azizem. Do you know that?
Oh.
Dusataran.
How do you know Farsi?
3 of my ex-boyfriends are Persian.
Oh, okay. Hey.
Yeah. Dusataram, Duznataram.
So you like Persian men?
Not anymore.
Oh. Okay.
The third time. I was like, that's enough for me. I've learned my lesson.
Oh my God. I've actually never dated a Persian guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was always more like what you were looking for?
You know, I don't have a specific type. Like I mean, obviously before Miguel, I've dated white men, Asian. Like it just, for me, it's a vibe.
Yeah.
Really? When that's what it comes down to. No specific race. But I've never dated a Persian guy.
Are your parents still together?
No, they're not.
When did they divorce?
They got divorced when I was 18, which was really difficult, actually. Part of me wishes they would have got divorced when I was younger. But it was really hard because you have all these memories with your parents. And I had all these memories with them for 18 years mm-hmm. and being in the same home and having dinner almost every night together. So it was really difficult. It's still difficult, to be honest.
Did you see it coming?
No. No, they never really fought in front of us. They kept it really like low key and behind closed doors. So when they told us, they told me first. I have three younger brothers, so I'm the eldest. They told me first, and it was super shocking.
I wonder if it's a foreign parent thing, because mm-hmm. my parents also, I was thinking about it on the drive here. Uh-huh. I've never seen them fight. And I do recall at one point, my mom was literally thinking of leaving my dad. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this until years later when she told me. And as well as you, I would have never guessed, because uh-huh. they make sure to never fight in front of us.
Right. Yeah, it might be a cultural thing. I don't know. But it, you know, with different cultures, they like to keep things in the family and very quiet, and you don't tell anybody. And so, yeah, it was really shocking.
Did it change your perspective on love?
Yes, but in a different way. It made me learn what not to do in a relationship so I could keep my relationship strong.
Oh.
And it taught me to be vocal and to be more, you know, communicative and, you know, just to work together as a team, because obviously at some point my parents stopped working together as a team, you know, and I learned a lot. I talked to both of my parents about it, what they did wrong, what happened. And I just try to learn from it and not take that into my marriage.
Do you wish your parents would have stayed together?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Even if they were maybe not happy with each other?
No. If they're not happy, and they obviously were not, I'm glad they're apart. But there's always that kid in me that's like, man, I wish they would have worked it out. I wish they were still together.
Did your brothers take it the same way as you did?
They took it harder because they were younger. And we don't really talk about it, which I wish we did. But it's still a sensitive subject, even like 15 years later. It's still weird.
Do you think people view love differently when they have parents who are together versus parents who are divorced?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, our parents obviously raise us. They lead by example. So a lot of us practice what our parents teach us. So if you're seeing a happy marriage and you're seeing a relationship, I mean, the odds of you having that are probably much higher than people or children that have divorced parents, I would assume.
Yeah, especially, I don't know what's worse, if you always see your parents fighting and then they get a divorce, versus if you see your parents always happy and then they get a divorce, almost tells you that love just, like, nothing lasts forever. Even two people that you thought would be together forever.
That are happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's shocking. It really is shocking.
What's something no one knows about you?
Oh, something no one knows about me. I don't know.
You have six toes.
I don't have six toes. I definitely don't. Well, when I was 8 years old, I had a tumor on my face. That's actually, most people don't know that about me.
Whoa,
yeah,
on your face.
On my face. It was the size of a softball on my face. And I had it for like over a month. And I was in the hospital for that long. And they would have to drain it every day. It was crazy. And I was going to get surgery to get it out. And they told my parents like I was going to have a scar from like here all the way, you know, to my jaw. And my parents are like, let's just give her like one more week. I don't want to rush her into surgery. Let's keep draining it, giving her medication, all this, because they didn't want to leave me with anything on my face. And it ended up working. It ended up going down after that week. And it was like a miracle, honestly. It was a crazy time though. Like my dad was in the hospital. He slept there with me like every day. And like, it was crazy.
I'm sorry, I'm not educated about this stuff at all. No. So I'm just wondering, are all tumors cancerous or not?
Well, when I first initially went into the hospital, they told my parents it was. And I remember my dad having a complete meltdown, like crying. Like it was like, it was like a thing. And my mom like had to step out. It was like a total thing. And they kept saying that. And my dad was like, I don't believe it. Like, I just feel like something happened and something's infected. Something's not right. So that's why they kept me in there for so long. They were testing it. They were draining all the stuff and testing it. And at the end of the day, I don't think it was cancerous. It was just, I don't know. I honestly don't really know the whole story. I was so young.
And nothing ever came back. No issues, nothing.
No. I started to get, throughout the years, little lumps on the back of my neck. And then I had one on my tailbone that they had to take out, probably in 2014. So I get little things that come back. So I have to like be careful.
But is it like cysts?
Yeah.
But and no idea why it's
no.
That. No. Whoa.
No idea why. No idea why. So I even like have some like on my ovaries. Like it's, yeah. That's actually, a lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
So
well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course. I hope it doesn't come back. I'm like, oh, dealing with that.
I hope so.
Yeah, the last time it was a lot.
Wow.
It was a lot, yeah.
What's your definition of happiness?
To me, it's being around people that are motivating, people that are inspiring, the people that I feel the most comfortable around. For me, happiness is watching other people be happy. I love making other people happy. Yeah, I don't know what it is, like seeing other people on, even like on their birthdays, any, like just to see people smiling and genuinely happy makes me really happy.
Do you feel like what you believe happiness is has changed over the years as mm-hmm. you've gotten older?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Because you think that if I get this one job, or if I have this amount of money, or if I do this, I'm going to be the happiest person alive.
Right.
You know, but yeah, you're happy for what? A little tiny bit, but that happiness doesn't last forever. Right. Happiness is, I consider like the intangible things, the things that we can't see, the things that we can't hold, like that's true happiness.
Do you feel like that understanding only comes when you're like a little bit older?
Yeah, I think so. I think maturity has a lot to do with it.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think life experience, like when you go through things and you're like, wow, like, yeah, I have this. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I hang out with whoever with the fuck. But when you go through things and you learn and you're like, but this is so much better and I will never take this for granted and like, I appreciate this. It does change your definition of happiness.
Do you have a moment in your life that was your lowest?
Yeah, I've had a few. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
You're human.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, like again, my parents got divorced. That was a very low time.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I moved out like right away. I was like, I packed my car and I moved out. When Miguel and I broke up and, you know,
you literally already told me too.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It's just like there's so many things or like all through my 20s, I was trying to find my purpose in life. I didn't know what to do because I liked so many things and I was so confused and I was so depressed about it. That was a really, really low time in my life. Like when you don't have purpose or you don't know what your purpose is in this world, it's so difficult.
I think that's also for, you're similar to me when it comes to the drive. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Everything can go well in my life,
right.
But I get really sad and depressed if I don't feel motivated. Like if I don't have, yeah. If I don't have one goal mm-hmm. To do something, mm-hmm. a drive towards something, I'm just so depressed.
Yeah. No, I feel that way too. It's like, I need that to fuel my happiness. It's like when I'm acting or like singing or even like writing, like there's something in me that like lights up. And like modeling, I don't know what it is. It's a feeling. It's that intangible feeling of happiness that just like lives within you when I'm doing these things.
What's your favorite thing about yourself?
About myself? Probably my self-motivation in like all areas of my life. I'm a self-motivator. Like if nobody around me is motivating me, I'll motivate myself to go to class, to do that job, to take care of my man, to take, like, I just, it's a constant drive in me. And I really, really appreciate that about myself. I don't take that for granted.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that it wasn't like, well, I have like really nice lips. Yeah. Wait, no, actually, maybe my eyes.
No, it's not that.
No. I have a great right side nipple. Right. I love that. Like imagine, no, right. Not me, but I'm just saying yeah. You said that. So I like that you said something more deep.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're really positive, and I think a lot of your followers notice that too. I'm kind of wondering, was there a point in your life where, because obviously we all have to grow up sometime and we mm-hmm. all have to learn how to love ourselves. Like, I don't think it just, I mean, honestly, anyone that just loves themselves every day and never felt low, I'm shocked, but like that, good for you.
I've actually never met somebody like that.
Yeah, but if there's someone out there, like, I'm so happy for you.
Absolutely.
But like, when in your life, if you can remember, did you feel like you finally started to love yourself? Like there was a point in your life that you finally felt like I love the person I'm becoming.
End of 29, well, about 30 years old.
Stop. That's literally me.
Yeah. That's amazing. I remember we celebrated my 30th birthday in Miami, and I just made this like internal promise to myself that everything that I went through in my 20s and happened to me that I wasn't going to carry with me. Like that is in the past. That's old baggage. Let it go. The people who are meant to be in your life are in your life now. You know, you got to just free yourself of all the bullshit and all of those false insecurities. I really had to just be like, you're done. You're done with that. It's over.
So that was the point in your life where you finally learned how to love yourself. And was that just an advice you were giving to yourself? Or was that kind of, did you have kind of, what's the word, regiment? A regimen where you kind of were forcing yourself to start to change your mindset?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, for me, it started with confronting the things that I was holding on to or feeling insecure about. And then once I figured that out, it was like, okay, I got to put a plan in action. Like, what am I going to do to get over this shit? Like, how am I going to move forward and better myself in my life? And that started with therapy. And I always credit it because therapy changed my life. It changed my relationship. It just really helped guide me to where I am today. And I still go, even if nothing's wrong. Like, therapy is an emotional gym. If it's couples therapy or solo therapy, it's so important to sit and just talk and get it out. I've found that it's very freeing for me and I need it.
So do you every day now that when you wake up, do you feel like you love yourself or do you still have days where you don't?
No. Oh my God. There's days where I'm like, oh God, I don't want to do this today, or I feel like shit today, or I don't feel like my highest self today, or I feel bloated today. Like it could be anything with us girls and hormones and all this, the things that we go through, it could be anything. But I don't feel amazing every day. Like, you know.
And what do you do on those days?
I talk myself out of it. Like, it's all in your head. You're fine. Go hit the gym. Go hit the gym because that is going to realign you. It's going to get your focus back. You're going to feel better about yourself. Eat something. Go hit the gym. Have your coffee. Read a book. Hang out with your man. Like, there's just, you got to find the things that ignite a fire in you and you got to run with it.
You just got to get out of bed and just take on the day.
You agree. You have to.
I almost feel like that's sometimes seems like to be the hardest part when you're feeling down. Mm-hmm. I feel like the hardest part is to just get out of bed.
It is. No, absolutely. Because you're like, I mean, I could just lay here. But then you lay there and you just think about all these things that you don't like about yourself or you don't like about your life or like the things you wish would happen. And it's not healthy.
Yeah.
Nothing gets done with you just laying there.
I agree.
You know?
Okay. So there's this one thing I was trying to look through your Instagram before we were doing this interview and I couldn't find it. So I can't tell if I'm going crazy or not. And I wrote this down to myself, but I remember I saw some Instagram post about your before and after pictures. Yes. Of your body. Mm-hmm. Of how it was years ago where it seemed like you were really, really thin versus now you're curvier and like not the, you know, both bodies are good.
Right.
And you were kind of discussing it. So I was wondering if, what was that? Can you remind me what you were talking about?
I was super, super thin in my 20s. And part of it was I was just naturally thin. I've always been just growing up. But then I started abusing diet pills. And that's when I got down to like 101, 102. And that's when things got really scary. So that was a part of my whole growth process, was getting off of those awful pills and working out and doing things the right way.
How did you learn to love your body? Because when you're so obsessed with being so skinny, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard to even gain like 2 pounds.
Yeah, because you notice and look at yourself. Things don't fit the same. Yeah.
So how did you change your mind to think differently?
Well, I knew what I wanted to look like and I knew what I could look like. So again, it was like, I had to tell myself that this is what you want and it's okay. it's okay. Like, calm down. You're weightlifting, you're working out, you're eating right, you're doing everything the right way.
How did
so relax?
How did Miguel deal with you going through that?
Early on, he didn't know that I was abusing diet pills. He had no idea. He just thought, because he's known me for so long and I was skinny the whole time, that, you know, I was just, that's how my body was. But I actually ended up telling him in therapy, and he was shocked. And he went home and like threw everything away. He found it in my drawer. I used to keep them on like the side of my bed. We have like this, you know, little pull-out drawer, and I used to keep them there, and he just went in there and like threw everything away.
Were you scared that he would love your body less if you gained weight?
No, no. He is not, like, he does not care about those things at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, oh my God, he's like the last person I worried about when it came to that.
So what advice do you have for girls out there who, you know, deal with body dysmorphia or feel like they're not good enough, especially right now with social media? I mean, I that shit's insane.
It's insane.
You know?
My advice, first of all, you're not alone. There are so many women that deal with this in so many different capacities. You know, the dysmorphia could be body, the dysmorphia could be, you know, all these other things that we deal with. So yes, you're not alone. Second, you can get through this. It's all mind over matter. And third, and I'm going to be really honest, for me, it never really went away. It's just something I deal with and talk myself out of.
If you told me it went away, I would be like, you're lying.
Yeah, no, it doesn't go away. It's just one of those things that you learn to cope with, and you learn to say, no, what you think you look like, that's not what you look like. Relax, like, you're good. Be confident, do your thing. What you're thinking is not what's happening.
Do you ever find yourself comparing yourself to other girls?
No, not really. I put a lot of pressure on myself by comparing myself, my old self to, like, it's a lot of internal things. So I try not to compare myself to other people, because we're all different. And my logical mind tells me we're all different. We all come from different places. Why am I going to compare myself to somebody else who's been through other things, who's a different ethnicity? Like, why am I going to do that?
Right. But do you ever get nervous? Like, because you guys are both in the public eye, Miguel is, you know, a famous guy. He's attractive and he's a musician. Everyone loves musicians. You ever get scared that, like, so you never look at other girls and think like, oh my God, that girl's so hot, she's going to flirt with my, no? Okay. I'm just like super confident, you guys.
It, like, I can't, first of all, you can't control somebody else's actions. Okay.
I agree.
Yeah, you can't. So why am I going to sit there and worry about somebody who I can't control?
That's honestly the best mindset. My mom always tells me that.
Really? Why are you stressing out about something you cannot control? You're going to drive yourself insane. That's what I think about. I'm like, okay, so you're going to just sit here all day, or you're going to be at a club and stare at somebody and worry about it. What are you doing?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's just like, no.
Okay, so now let's move to talk about relationships, because I want to talk about that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
So for those who don't know Nas, she and her relationship with Miguel, you guys have been together for way over 10 years. I
mean, yeah, it'll be 14 years.
You guys met in 2005, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good job.
So you guys met, Nas and Miguel met in 2005 on his first music video. Yeah.
The song was called Get Your Hands Up.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so that one. And I read that you never felt the need to pressure him for marriage or anything like that?
No, I think I took it very logically. I'm like, look, we started at 18. That's so young.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 18, 19. Like, we're obviously not the same people.
Wait, so right almost after your parents got divorced?
Yeah, I met him.
Wow.
Yeah. So and we're fresh out of high school. I was, and he was like a year out of high school. And when you're with somebody for that long, you got to be logical about it because you're growing. I mean, we're different people, completely different people from 18 to I'm 32 now.
Yeah.
You know? So I never put this crazy pressure on him because I knew we had to grow. And there were so many odds against us, you know, from his fame and us transitioning into it. It's a lot and it's heavy and trying to find ourselves and help each other. It was a lot. But if I put that added pressure on him, it would be so heavy, and on myself, it would have been too heavy to carry.
Did you guys ever break up?
Yeah. We broke up in a while ago. But we broke up for about a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like we both dated other people, which is so weird, but we were still seeing each other during that entire time, you know, seeing each other.
Yeah. Was that hard?
Yeah, it was hard. It was really hard. I was depressed for sure.
How long ago was the, did you guys break up for the year?
Probably 10 years ago. This was like a long.
So it was still when you guys were in your early 20s.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I think I was like 22, 23.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It was like that time where you're like, I just want to do what I want. And then we were like clashing because like he wanted to go out all the time and I wasn't like there yet. I didn't really want to go out all this. It was just a lot. So.
Wow.
Yeah, we're like, we need to just not. But we talked and we saw each other. And
but yeah. I think you're also, your relationship is an example of like the exception. Because I feel like other people are going to listen to this, they're going to say, oh, so that means if me and my boyfriend, every time we break up, like that means we can still have a future or whatever. And a lot of times I think most relationships, when they break up, it's a lot of the time it's the end.
Oh, absolutely.
Because then you get used to the back and forth.
I mean, the back and forth, if we were to have been that relationship of back and forth, we would have had to just cut it.
I think that makes sense, especially in your early 20s. I read research that said the men who get married before 25 are more likely to get a divorce.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Men are, you know, not as mature as us, right?
No.
It's true. It's just facts. And they need time to grow. They need time to find themselves as well. It's not only about us, you know?
And you guys are also... I mean, relationships are already so hard. Right. Then it's like 2019. Then it's like you guys live in LA or wherever you live. Then it's also he's with fame. I mean, that's way more hard.
So the odds are just so against you at that point.
Yeah. People always say you're only as faithful as your options.
Right. I mean, that's true. That's 1,000% true.
Okay. So have you ever faced any challenges on being mixed?
Have I ever faced any challenges? You know, luckily, I grew up in a household that celebrated both. My mom learned to cook Persian food. We were heavy in both cultures. Like it was never awkward or one culture was better than the other. It was just always very, very on the same level. And I feel very fortunate that that was our case. Also, my cousin, she's, and her family's the same mix as well. Like, her dad's Persian, her mom's Mexican. And so we grew up the same way. And I don't know, we always related, and I didn't really face anything like that.
So no one in your family, either side of the family, treated you guys differently?
No.
No one in school treated you guys differently?
I mean, I grew up in Valencia, and Valencia is primarily Caucasian. So I did feel out of place at times, but I never let it stop me. I knew when I turned 18, I was going to get the hell out of there because there's nothing to do up there. It's like suburbia with Magic Mountain and a theater. So I left. But yeah, I was definitely one of the only tan ones there. Yeah.
Do you feel like you ever identified more as being Persian or more as being Mexican or neither?
No.
Plus your other things. You're also Native American,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Native American. I've always felt so comfortable with both because my parents celebrated both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I just never felt like I had to pick one over the other.
Okay. So another thing that I read about you mm-hmm. is that one thing I like, well, there's a few things I like about you. One, you seem like you're really deep. I love that about you. Mm-hmm. You love, I feel like you're really into horoscopes because you're always posting about,
yes.
I know you're Virgo.
Yes.
And I know Miguel's a Scorpio.
Yes.
So am I. So it's like the same, oh, okay. The best sign.
That's awesome.
And you guys are compatible. So yes. Good for you. But another thing I like about you is that you're really positive.
Thank you.
And then the last thing I like about you is that you seem like you're a go-getter, but not, like, I just feel like you just go for whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was even intimidated doing this interview with you.
Because
you seem like, you look like a really, like, cool girl.
Thanks.
I felt it to you just like, you seem like overly cool. And I was like, not that you come off scary, but
no,
you're just
intimidated.
I mean, I was scared almost to do the interview. Like when I was late here, I was like scared.
Why?
I was like, what is she gonna do? You just come off like a badass.
I don't know whether to say thank you or I don't know. No, I appreciate the honesty. I love it. I do get that sometimes, or I can be very quiet, but I'm just observing. Like, that's my nature. Like, I go into things, I have to observe a room.
It's a Virgo in you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't jump into friendships because friendships are very meaningful to me. And I want to really get to know the person and have the right people around me that are around for the right reasons. So I know I can be like a little standoffish, which can come off as like, oh, is she bitchy? Is she, what's happening here? But it's not that at all. Like, I just want to get to know genuine people.
I like that.
So, yeah.
Okay, so like the reason I feel like you always go for what you want, because I'm very similar like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no problem, even if I like a guy, I'm like, okay, that's mine. I'll go for it.
Yeah.
And I've hit on guys before, and I read that you said you actually hit on Miguel.
I did, yeah.
And that's how it started.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Do you want to share?
Yeah, of course. It was at his music video shoot, and I noticed, like, he kept looking at me and smiling, but he was really shy at the time. Which is so crazy to think now, but he was super shy. And I was just like, I'm going to have to, you know, I feel it. I'm going to have to be the one to say something because he's like kind of talking to me, but like smiling, but not. And they kept me after the music video to interview him for a DVD he was putting together. That's how long ago it was DVD. and I asked him a question that wasn't on my questionnaire. And I was like, you know, all the ladies want to know, do you have a girlfriend? Because I really, you know, I wanted to know and not shoot my shot if he had somebody, you know what I mean? So he's like, no, but I'm looking for one. And I was like, all right. Okay. So that was my way of like.
And then what?
He gave me his number. We exchanged numbers. And then he called me the next day at like noon. And I met up with him the day after that. And then that was it.
Oh, okay.
That was it. We're here now, guys.
And you guys, let's remember, you guys were like, you were 18 mm-hmm. and he's 20.
Right. Like, this was the time of you pick up the phone and call somebody.
Yeah.
It was text. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, we were texting, but it was like, it was still that era of like, you pick up, like, hey, do you want to go on a date with me? Like, you know, that was the time. And it was, looking back, it was really special.
Do you feel like it would have been different had you guys met now, even if it was 2019, but you were 18 and 20 still? yeah. because of social media and all that? Do you think it would have been different?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I would have already, when I went to that shoot, I didn't know who he was, at all. I actually wasn't even going to go because I was like, it's so far. I lived in Valencia and the shoot was in San Pedro. And I was like, this is so far. I don't know who this guy is. But I booked the job and I committed. And once I commit, I go. So I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to go. But I think now, like, obviously we would know who each other was at some capacity. You know, we have similar friends. It would definitely be different.
Like, do you think it would still happen?
Yeah.
Or do you think it'll be like, oh, he'll try to play games or he'll like DM you, but then...
No, he's not really like a play games kind of person.
He's a Scorpio.
Yeah, it's like they love you and love you hard. There's, yeah. You know what I mean?
My dad's a Scorpio too.
Okay, so you know.
It's like, that's it. Like once I meet someone, I have my eyes on them. I'm so obsessed with that person.
Exactly.
All I think about. Even if you don't know it.
Right.
I'm just sitting and I'm thinking about you all day.
Right.
So I'm sure when he was looking at you, I'm sure he was just like, oh, I like her.
I hope so.
He was so hopeful that you would talk to him because they... Right. They come off kind of shy, I think, at first.
Yeah. Especially at that age.
Yeah.
You know, guys like 18, 19, it's, you know.
Yeah, my dad's pretty introverted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, my dad's a Scorpio on the cusp of a Libra. So he's like a Scorpio Libra. And my mom's a Taurus Aries.
When is your dad's birthday?
October 27.
Okay. My Miguel's is the 23rd.
Oh, yeah. I Googled that. So he's literally on the cusp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my dad's like, right, considered here. Still on the cusp as well. And then my mom's a Taurus and then on the cusp of Aries.
Oh, wow.
So they're insanely compatible and they don't even know how compatible they are.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, they're still together.
That's amazing. I love that.
Are Miguel's parents together?
No, they're not. They got divorced when he was, I think, like 8. So he was way younger.
Got it. But look at that. I mean, both of you found each other so young and you
know.
Believed in each other and you grew together.
And we're still growing.
Yeah.
It like doesn't stop.
But in your early 20s is when you're changing, I think, the most.
I agree.
So it's amazing to watch two people, instead of growing apart, are still able to grow together.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't always easy, I can tell you that. But we're very fortunate out of, you know, all the things that we've been through to be here is really amazing.
What's the craziest thing that you've ever done for love?
Ooh, the craziest thing. Probably be selfless when I should have been selfish.
I like that.
Yeah. There was a lot of moments where I put myself on the back burner to make somebody else feel good.
Do you believe that, my mom always says this to me, that the man should love the woman a little bit more?
Yeah.
Like a little bit more. Do you believe that?
I do believe that.
Why?
I don't know. There's something... The love always feels stronger, and I don't know why. Like, the passion feels stronger when the guy's, like, even, like, 5% more.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be, like, this, like, oh, I love you so much more, and it doesn't need to be this dramatic thing. But, like, when it's this much more, it's somewhat more passionate. I don't know.
I agree. With you. I don't know why, but I agree with that,
yeah,
too.
There's some... I don't know. There's something, like, this... There's still that chase when the guy loves you a little more.
Like, obviously, some days maybe you love him a little more. Some days he loves you more. But at the end of the day, he loves you just a little bit more.
It keeps the chase going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Do you think you're romantic?
Yes.
Miguel?
He's very romantic. Yeah.
Scorpio.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of ingrained in you guys. Yeah. It just like happens. I don't know. It's a natural thing.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think you fell in love with Miguel at first sight?
Yeah, I wouldn't say in love, but I was driving home that night from the shoot. And I was like, this guy, I said it out loud in my car by myself. I was like, this guy is special. There's something about this guy. Like, I'm going to be with him. Like, I just felt it in me.
What was your first impression of Miguel?
That he was shy, but it was super intriguing. Because I was just used to guys being...
Scorpios are mysterious.
Yeah, and I love the mystery. I can be mysterious too. So kind of we were bouncing off each other, but I knew I had to make the move. So,
is Miguel your best friend?
Yeah, for sure. Oh. For sure.
When was the moment that you looked at him and realized that you loved him?
Oh, there's so many. There's honestly so many.
Well, your first moment where you were like, this is someone I could be with. Like, I love this guy.
I'm trying to go back.
Because I know you guys been together for so long.
Like, what was the first? I don't know. The first time he told me I love you, he couldn't even say it. He had to write it down.
Aww.
I know. And I remember where it was. We were at Fuddruckers. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's in Santa Monica. And it's a place where you can like write on the table. Like they have like, you know, those placemats where you can write on. And actually in ketchup, he wrote, I love you. Well, I was in the bathroom and I came back out and I sat down and the table was like, and it was huge. And it said, I love you. And that was the first time.
Did he say it then or?
After that. After I read it, he said it.
So that was one of the moments you looked at him and you're like, I love this man.
You too. Yeah.
Do you believe in soulmates?
Yeah, I do. I do. But I also believe soulmates come in different forms and at different times in your life. A best friend could be a soulmate. You know, like anyone you can't picture yourself living without, to me, is considered your soulmate. And that's a best friend, you know, even a coworker who you just really like connect with. To me, that could be a soulmate.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite memory of Miguel?
My favorite memory? Again, there's like so many. Like favorite professional memory, like, for him that made me like so happy was probably when he won his first Grammy. That was a day I'll never forget. It was just incredible. It was like watching somebody's dream come true right before your eyes. Like it was crazy.
Especially because one of your happiness for you is seeing the people you love happy.
Yeah. So like to watch him, like it was crazy. That day was crazy.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. It was nuts.
What's the most rewarding and challenging parts of love to you?
The most challenging. I think the most challenging could be growing together. Definitely.
Especially for you guys because you start in early 20s.
Absolutely. That's the most challenging, but that's also the most rewarding when you do grow together. So
both.
Both, yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you and Miguel are complete opposites or the same?
We're opposites in certain ways and we're the same in certain ways. We're kind of the yin and yang. Where he falls short, I pick up. Where I fall short, he picks up. He's like the creative and the dreamer. And I'm like logical and like grounded. And like I pull him down, he brings me up.
Aww.
Yeah, that's. I really think that's a big reason why we work.
Okay, so pick one. Love should always be comfortable or love should always feel new and exciting.
I think there needs to be a mix.
I think so too.
Yeah, I feel like it's important for love to at moments be spontaneous, but you need that foundation and stability, that comfort.
Yeah, I agree.
And I also believe you need that stability and that comfort to have your highest form of spontaneity too. Because when you're comfortable, you could really just have the best time with that person. So it goes hand in hand.
Okay, so I wrote this down for myself. It's like seems like a long question.
Okay.
How have you managed to stay together for this long? Sometimes it feels like people give up on love too fast. Mm-hmm. And it's refreshing to me and inspiring to see people make it, especially people who are in the public eye, as it seems that opportunity is always there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, when you see the potential in somebody and the potential in your relationship, you really try your hardest to make it work. We've been through a lot. We've had a lot of issues and it's just, you work through them. You work through them until you just can't work through them anymore. And when you can't work through them anymore, then you gotta cut the shit.
So what do you guys do to keep your love alive since you've been together for so long?
Well, we do couples therapy. Like, again, even if we don't need it, it's an emotional gym. We go, we talk it out. We're lucky our lifestyle is very spontaneous. So it's like we could go somewhere randomly and like that keeps the spark alive. Like that keeps us excited. But then we also have our home and like him and I are homebodies. So it's like we're more home with our cats. We're home with our cats. You know, it's, I don't know. We found a good balance to keep the spark alive and still feel really solid.
Do you guys ever, since you both have your own jobs and stuff like that, do you guys ever spend time apart from each other for a good amount of time.
Yeah. Especially now it's getting a little harder because my work's really picking up. So we're trying to find that balance. It's not easy. It's actually, I feel like it's going to get harder, to be honest with you.
What's the longest you guys have been apart from each other?
We don't go 2 weeks without seeing each other. That's rule. That has been rule since day one.
Got it.
Yeah. So we're hopefully we don't break that.
So then if you're away somewhere, maybe he'll come see you or vice versa.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with fangirls?
You just don't deal with them.
I don't know.
Like, you just don't. Like, they're fangirls.
You just don't let it get to you and deal with it.
It's the name of the game. Like, you know what you're getting into. So you can't be naive to it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a part of his job. Look at the music he writes, the lyrics. Like, this is his market. This is a part of his job. So you need to learn how to separate it. Like, when he's on stage, and I always say this, when Miguel's on stage, he belongs to the world. He does not belong to me. When he steps off stage, he belongs to me.
Aww.
So, like, that's the rule. Like, once he hits that stage, it's like, you got to put on a show. Like, this is what you do. This is what you love. You got to go do it.
What do you think constitutes a healthy relationship?
I'm going to be cliche and say communication.
No, I 100% agree.
Yeah. It all starts with communication, really. It really does. Like, if you're not communicating, that is like the root of all the issues.
So how do you communicate with your partner when you're really upset?
Mm.
And if it's like therapy is not till Thursday and you're upset and it's Monday, what are you doing?
So first of all, him and I don't go to bed angry. That has also been a rule for us. We can't do that. It's just, even if we're not fully on the same page, neither of us sleep on the couch. We sleep in the same bed and we're like, okay, tomorrow we're going to talk about it. But for now, we're going to cuddle and we're going to go to sleep. So, go back to your question.
I said, how do you guys deal with, how do you communicate when you're upset?
When you're upset.
And he said, we don't go to bed.
We don't go to bed angry.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we have to write our pros and cons out. We literally will write lists. No, this is how we have to, we're both very visual. So it's like, we got to write this shit down. I mean, sometimes it just comes out. Sometimes it's not always nice, but we always get to the root of the problem. Thank God.
Well, I read somewhere that Miguel said, like, when he said, when I was looking for a partner, I wasn't hanging out with Nas because, you know, I'm not with her because I just love hanging out with her and we're just hanging out. It's like when you look for someone who's, that's going to be your person, you're going to be with that person forever. And I think it's also important to have a partner that has that type of outlook versus like,
I mean,
hang out.
No, that's never going to work.
Yeah.
When somebody's thinking up here and the other person's thinking down here, it's just not going to work. You got to be on the same page with your wants.
And it seems like you guys are constantly on the same page as you're talking about that you're mine, I'm yours, you're my person. And okay, like, how do we get through it? Because I had another friend on the podcast before and she explained it to me that when two partners, they can fight against each other. And it seems when you guys are fighting, you fight towards the same goal, which is to make up.
Yeah, the problem, like, you're not fighting to be against each other. We're trying to find the solution. And it's not always easy. You're going to have bumps in the road. We're not going to agree on everything. We don't. We're two totally different people. People think that it's like all, you know, fuzzy and shit, but it's like, you're not going to agree upon everything. So you got to find that happy medium at the end of the day.
So recently there was a really popular quote by Will Smith that everyone's been talking about. And he said, her happiness is not my responsibility. She should be happy and I should be happy individually. Mm-hmm. Then we come together and share our happiness. Giving someone responsibility to make you happy when you can't do it for yourself is selfish.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I do. I feel like it puts a lot of pressure on the other person. Like, you're responsible for making that person happy all the time.
It's unfair.
It's unfair. And it also, especially if you're rebellious, like, it turns you off in a way. You're just like, why am I the person to make you happy? No, make yourself happy and we can be happy together.
Do you think people are capable of loving someone else if they can't love themselves?
No. No. I feel like it has to start with you. A pure, deep love. how, if you're empty, how can you fill somebody else up?
And how can you believe that they love you when you don't love yourself?
Exactly. Exactly.
I agree.
Yeah, it's so deep. I mean, you really got to love yourself.
Do you believe that both partner, that's important for both partners to have their own life?
Yeah. Oh, it's so important. It's to have your own life and not be clingy is where it's at, honestly. Imagine like someone's doing their own thing and the other one's still holding on. The other person's going to run.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to get tired of carrying your weight.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about it yesterday. I had lunch with this guy and we were talking about that stuff. And I remember I said, you know, how it is important because you can't have goals and careers and have your own life and what you aspire to. And I'm sitting there and like, you are my goal. You are my career. You are my life. Like, mm-hmm. This feels so unhealthy.
It is unhealthy. It definitely is because if all you're thinking about is a person instead of your own wants, are you ever really going to be happy in the end? You know, it's that's deep. That's really deep.
And it has to be a reason if someone's clinging onto another person.
Yeah.
Probably because they're struggling to like
to find their purpose. Yeah. Exactly. And love themselves.
What's your love language?
Ooh, that's a good question. It depends where we're at and it depends what's going on. Him and I are both very affectionate with each other.
Touching?
Like, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Very, very. Which is weird for me because I'm not a touchy-feely person. Like, I'm not a huggy person, but with him, I am. So that's definitely my love language with him is physical affection for sure.
Me and my cat.
Yeah, I'm like that with my cat too. I love your cat, by the way.
She's
Pancake.
So cute.
It's so cute.
Thank you. So you guys are both touchy. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why you also can't go 2 weeks without seeing
each
other. You have to express your love by
physically. Yeah. Like I need him to hold me. I vice versa. Like we're at night. I'm telling you, even if we're upset, we sleep in the same bed. He still holds me. It's like, it's, we can't.
What are your thoughts on going through your partner's phone?
Mm-mm. I haven't been through Miguel's phone probably since 2014. Like, why? Why am I going to do that? For what?
But why did you go through it 5 years ago?
Why did I? I probably suspected some bullshit or something and like, why? But why am I going to do that? But that's only going to lead... when you go looking for something,
you find it.
But it could be anything. He could say to some chick that he's whatever, have a great day. And I might take that the wrong way.
Because you already been looking for something
exactly.
for the whole day.
So then why am I going to do that? Because I could take something so small and then blow it up and then it leads to something else and it leads to a problem. So we have a rule. If I want to see his phone or he wants to see my phone, we just ask. I know the password to his. He knows my passcode. And that's that. Like, we both know each other's shit. And if we want to see it, he hands it over. If I want to see it, I hand vice versa.
Do you believe that there should be no secrets between two people?
It depends how deep these secrets are. Anything that's, like, going to break your relationship, no. I don't think there should be secrets. But like little personal things are like my secrets are like I shop too much. So I have to sneak my clothes in the house. Those are my secrets. Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. So yeah, I have secrets and that's that.
What do you think makes people fall out of love?
Miscommunication, not growing together, jealousy. That's a big one. And, you know, you could be jealous of your partner. You could be jealous of the attention they get and that drives you guys apart, which is so stupid. At the end of the day, it's just so dumb.
Yeah. That is another thing. Since you guys started dating in your early 20s, you mm-hmm. were growing together as people, but also in your career. So a lot of times couples, female or male, they end up being jealous of their partner if they're more successful.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's so important to like motivate each other.
Yeah.
Be genuinely happy for your partner.
And you also got to understand like if your partner's winning, like you're winning too. It's a team effort. You know, it goes hand in hand. Like you're with them from the start. You're helping them. Like it's a team effort. There's no room for jealousy. Like gotta let that go.
What are your thoughts on cheating?
I think it depends on the situation. I think it depends on the couple. I think it depends on where they're at in their lives. Like, let's say there's a couple that's married with children. You know what I mean? Like, the circumstances change. And I don't think it's any of our places in any capacity to judge them. That's their own life. They got to sleep next to that person every night. They got to make that decision at the end of the day.
What's your definition of cheating?
Sleeping with somebody, for sure.
What do you think is worse, an emotional affair or a physical one?
Emotional. For sure emotional. Because that,
but you said that's not, so is that cheating then?
Yeah, I mean, it's, for me, it is more hurtful if it's emotional.
I agree.
Because there is a deeper attachment than just physical. Physical is still cheating, obviously. But that deeper emotional connection is way more hurtful.
Can you think, can a couple survive it?
Yeah, for sure. For sure they can survive it. But again, it depends on the circumstances.
Would you ever be able to survive something like that?
Yeah, for sure.
An emotional one?
Ugh.
You're like, physical, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Emotional?
Emotional,
no.
I don't know.
I feel, it's so weird. I feel the same way.
Emotional, I don't know.
There's something about, like, I feel like if I'm with my husband for like 50 years and then right. he went to some trip on China in China and he like got wasted and banged some random person and he wanted to like maybe tell me about it one day
right.
on my deathbed, I'll forgive him.
Right.
But then if he told
right.
me,
exactly.
like I've been, you know, I fell in love with a woman.
I can't,
or like,
see, I
talked to her for a whole year.
That.
I would just be like, leave. Devastated. I want to die alone.
Exactly. Like exactly. Yeah. That's how I feel. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I agree with that.
It's yeah. weird. It's weird. It's a weird thing. I don't. But I
think also has to do with who we are as people.
Yeah.
Because other people, they can't handle the physical part. But for me, it's the emotional part I can't handle.
Exactly. Exactly. But is physical still cheating? Yeah, it's still
yes.
cheating.
I like, if you love me, like, I want to be the only one you will ever love. Right. Yeah. I want to move you. I don't want anyone else to be able to move you. I kind of asked you earlier about the advice of when arguing with a partner and how to fight together. Mm-hmm. But one thing my sister, she gave me advice before, and she said that, like, never bring up the word breakup or divorce, no matter what mm-hmm. you do. Like, that's one, that's her rule with her husband.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't want to hear that. It's like, if he were to ever say that, that's, oh my God, that would really hit me to my core.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I know if he were to ever say that, that means it's like, we're having really deep issues.
So you guys obviously never bring something like that up.
No. Oh, my God. No. I mean, we've only been married since November, but like,
yeah,
no, no, I would not. I just wouldn't say that unless I meant it. You know,
what's your favorite thing about Miguel?
How he's so caring, like emotionally, like he just connects to certain things and he cares, genuinely cares about people. Like when he loves you, he really loves you. And I love that about him.
Aww.
Yeah.
If you could choose Miguel all over again, would you?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I wouldn't change anything.
Is there anything else you want to add that I didn't ask?
No. You asked me a lot of great questions. You did an amazing job.
Thanks. I know. Try.
And I mean, you didn't even bring your full list and you did amazing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Where can people find your man?
At Miguel.
Yeah, that's pretty
yeah,
much
yeah, on Instagram.
Okay, well, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. I love this episode. Where could people find you?
Instagram. So you can find me at Nazanin Mandy. You can get Forever Mood on every streaming platform. It's out there. Hit me up on Instagram.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another Tuesday episode from the Vault Archives. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it and hanging out with Naz. And yeah, again, don't forget to subscribe to my podcast. We got episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. And don't forget to leave me a 5-star review if you get a chance. It really does help my podcast and it means the world. I read all of them. And again, it really does help my podcast. So if you love me, please go and write me a 5-star review. Please. Okay. Love you. See you Thursday. Bye.